guys, I sent y'all an image. Wars of the Info sent me. It's pretty funny. Part of my peace through brisket policy that we can have. We're going to go back to James. We just played that clip of a guy talking about Leo Terrell's official government account. Says he is the chair of the DOJ's task force to combat anti-Semitism. I mean, we literally have created a post for a guy basically to say, hey, we're going to make sure this kid never works again. Some 19-year-old kid. You know, they didn't even offer him, a chance to go to a re-education camp. They're just like, no, you're never going to work again. So we've gone from re-education now to basically sticking our foot on your neck. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are kind of sick and tired of this type of manipulation. So I don't think he's going to have a problem to get a job if he wants to, or he'll just become an entrepreneur. Go ahead, James. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, he actually has a GoFundMe, and I have the link on it on my Instagram. It's my Instagram is James from New Hampshire, and it has about 11,000, and he's trying to raise 100,000. I hope it's legit, but if anybody has any, you know, extra cash, you might want to donate to him, just help him out. But I also wanted to talk about the Strait of Hormuz. Do you think that's going to like collapse the economy or anything?
Well, I think what. I don't know if it'll collapse the economy. It's gonna cause inflation, which will it's gonna be problematic. Like, I think Trump has done all the stopgaps he can muster at this point. I think going into Venezuela was part of that, was to create the stopgap. If they get it open now, I mean, we've already missed planting season. It's the middle of summer at this. Well, it's not quite the middle of summer, but you know, it's the beginning of summer. You've already missed the planting season for fertilizer, but also,
yeah, it's the fertilizer.
Yeah.
Fertilizer. It's like 30% of the fertilizer, like 20% of the oil.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen there?
There's a lot, but you know, Canada also makes a lot of fertilizer. I think the United States is going to be okay. Now you got places in Asia that are going to be doing that, that are going to be having problems. But also, I think, you know, humans are resourceful, and I think humans are going to figure out a way, you know? Yeah. It's it's easy to do things with fertilizer, but you can come up with alternatives.
Yeah, like chickens can create fertilizer. You can just use chicken poop.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of chickens, but also there's a lot of like, you know, in Asia they eat a lot of fish. You can use fish as fertilizer. Ground that fish up. You know, there's a lot of things you can make into fertilizer. So I don't think it's gonna be calamitous. I could be wrong, but you know, I think in the end of the day, humans are pretty resourceful. Our price is gonna go up. Most likely. I mean, they're already I think the last inflation numbers were like 4.2%, and those are adjusted. Those, you know, they leave a bunch of things out that are going up, you know, when they look at inflation. It's like when food inflation goes up, half the things they don't even count are the things that you need, the staples. You know, they always mess with the numbers. So you can't, you know, all you can trust is you can't trust a government official. What you trust is when you go to the store. Or the gas pump. Now, gas is down, and it was down before this peace deal was even announced. Where I get it, of the Randalls I go to a few times a month, it was like $3.20 a gallon, $3.24, I believe. And that had gone down. It was up to like $4.08 at one point a few weeks ago. Now, you know, it dropped 20 cents and dropped another 20 cents. And Trump was talking about even getting rid of the gasoline tax, the national gasoline tax, put it on a holiday for a bit, which would drop it about 20 cents a gallon. But that's, you know, that's a lot for some people, you know, especially when you look at it monthly or yearly, you're saving a lot more money. So that would be great to see some tax holidays. You know, James, I overtalked you again, but I'll get you back on for your comments on the other side. I think you've gone the longest. You're going to be three segments deep here on the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. We'll be right back. One more hour of The War Room.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine clause is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at the alexjonesstore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is alexjoneslive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
There it is, folks. Peace through brisket. Although, I don't wear tennis shoes. I wear tactical sandals. Tactical Teva sandals. That's my... As I've become an old man, I have gone to one shoe and one shoe only. And I have my dress-up tactical Tevas. I have my walking around the house tactical Tevas. I have my working out in the yard tactical Tevas. I have my river tactical Tevas. And I repair them using glue, because when you go in the river, they tend to come apart when you step through a lot of mud. But I found, hopefully you out there could be so lucky to find the footwear you want to wear for the rest of your life. So, all right, let's go back to James. We were discussing peace through brisket. We're discussing the Task Force for Anti-Semitism. I'll give you the final word before I jump to the next caller, James. Go ahead.
Yeah, the last thing I was just going to say was with, like, the shortages or whatever happens with the Strait of Hormuz, I'm just worried about, like, the libtards in New York. Did you see them, like, burning buses and stuff there?
When they're going to go crazy. They're going to go crazy.
Yeah, they don't know how to do anything. Like, they don't know how to grow anything or do anything. They're just going to turn into a giant, like, horde, like Mad Max type stuff.
Yeah.
And take my chickens. Yeah.
Exactly. And especially when, you know, some of these people committing fraud with their food stamps are going to start, they're going to start looking at these people and going, oh, you don't get food stamps anymore. You know, what's that going to do? Oh, I got to go get a job. These people are going to start getting accountability. You know, during the break here, I answered a text about how much raw milk and eggs do I want? Okay. That's how we do it here at InfoWars. We've got connections. And you want to make connections locally. I have two local meat connections here in town where I get most of my meat from, most of my good steaks. I get from a couple different people. So
yeah, we got farms like that too, like raw milk. We got like the meat is like darker. It's like a dark red, like the beef and stuff. It's so much different than the grocery store crap.
Yeah. Yeah. The grocery store crap gets hit with, carbon monoxide and stuff to kill the life living on it, all the microbes and stuff. I mean, it's nasty stuff. And then the stuff we're getting is not even the good. It's not even the good American beef. It's usually the crap from South America that they bring up. You know, people are talking about the screw worm. You know, we've had screw worm eradication programs here in the United States where we sent that thing all the way down to South America. Well, now, you know, they're bringing these herds up, and those herds are the ones that have the screw worm because those countries don't take that seriously. So you're probably eating screw worm meat out there if you're not getting it from a local rancher.
All right, Rob. Well, thanks for taking my call, bud.
Yep. Thank you. I'll check the documentary out. I do remember, I remember I wrote it down when you said it to me last time, and I probably watched part of an episode, and then, you know, I got sidetracked with something else. I'm no good with these 9-part miniseries or whatever, however big it is.
It's so long and it's so depressing, I don't know. But everybody should watch it, so just to be informed. Or just have an alternative view of the mainstream narrative, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling, James. Let's go to Bart in Georgia. Foreign invasion assessment of ATL. What does ATL stand for?
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. Okay.
Yes, sir. Let me give you a threat assessment on Atlanta and the metro area. It is really, really, really bad. I've had negative experience. Just went out to Publix the other day to the zoo. Nothing but women in burkas everywhere, okay? Went over to a friend's house last week, and he comes out to greet me. There's a woman in a burka next door, and I said, hey, bud, now I know why you're selling your house. Mm. And another experience, went to go get a admission inspection, and it's a woman in a burka. Again, not just the eyes showing. And there's beekeeper suits everywhere. So, I mean, Atlanta is finished. And if you guys could help me get out of here, please go to thealexjonesstore.com/redneck with capital R and buy that methylene blue.
Was that redneck /redneck? You kind of garbled right there.
/redneck with a capital R.
All right. Yeah. You know, and people out there can also make their own accounts. What's the official name of those? Because I think Harrison has one. The affiliate links. Yeah, you make your own affiliate account. And yeah, you know, when people, you know, and Bart, you should, when you post things out there, include your affiliate link out there, because you never know who's going to make a big methylene blue, you know, buy and pump up your numbers.
Anyway, thank you for taking my call.
That's it. All right. Well, we'll watch out for the Atlanta. I don't like flying to Atlanta anymore. It's always a problem when you fly to Atlanta, unless you're landing in Atlanta and you're getting in a car and driving out of the city. But if you got to use that as a stopover, nah. Hey, there's Trump touting my beef for peace program right there. But he looks like he has some chicken and sausage. I guess that's pork and chicken. Yeah. There's mine, peace through brisket. All right, thanks for the call, Bart. Let's go to Sean and Cali. He's the one who texted me earlier about the four boxes. Go ahead, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good, Rob. How are you doing this fine afternoon?
You know, I'm in it to win it. Don't forget, let me give the phone number out again. 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. We got a couple spots open now, so you can call in. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, definitely. You know, if I had more time to go longer, I would be gushing over Bart and your previous caller. You guys are always on point, and your products are always on point. I'm not going to do the plugging because you get a lot of that as it is, but the four boxes, you know, a while back, and I don't know if Alex and you guys can plug the riff of David Knight, but it was because of him I kind of got into, you know, what were jural assemblies and the common law grand jury and all that. You have that soapbox, you know, which is what Alex is, the bullhorn, mm-hmm. You grew up in the town square preaching. You got the ballot box where everyone votes on an issue. Hey, what do you want to make into a law? Okay, now someone breaks the law. Now you have the grand jury, the jury box, which then decides was the law broken and doesn't need to go to trial. And then, you know, you have the trial jury. And then, of course, if those systems don't check out, then you have to resort to that bullet box. And It's an Old Testament principle. That's why it works for all the Abrahamic faiths, is that if you don't tell someone that they're screwing up and breaking the law or breaching their contract in government work, then you can't jump to the wrath of God. You have to send a prophet or a message or a notice. And something about that, Rob, makes me think about the Iran thing. We're seeing what may be enrichment on oil prices, you know, short selling and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So just that mere suspicion, if people are properly assembled, they can convene their common law grand juries. From there, publish their finding of facts regarding these oil shorts and these put options and so on. And that would stand as evidence for future court cases should people want to use it, because it'll be under sworn affidavits of what they find. So we the people do have a lot of remedy, but the people have got to get together. And there was a fellow who called in on Alex, and Alex discussed that earlier in the week. I'm not going to bring up the organization he's with, but they basically expatriate people. If you expatriate, you cannot stand in a common law grand jury because you're saying you don't want to plug into the system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you try to then go to your county clerk to reenter the system, it tells you you're incompetent in the eyes of the court because as an adult, you cannot make up your mind. So everyone needs to understand or comprehend that our right to be in the jury process is a sacred right in the Seventh Amendment, as well as in the First Amendment, and referencing the Fourth and Fifth, that has been passed on to us that we can't neglect. So many people want to get out of jury duty, Rob, and it's like, no, your employer is supposed to give you that day off. Take advantage of it. If the law is unjust, like David Knight would talk about, jury nullification, or if Red Beckman, the fully informed jury, watch those YouTube documentaries where he explains that if something doesn't seem right, All it takes is one little grandma to stick her finger up and get the case thrown out, or to get the person let free if they were framed, or, you know, just go watch 12 Angry Men. That should tell everyone that we are the final say on the law. And so it's not as hopeless as the folks behind Europa make it out to be. It's not as hopeless as the Black Pillars make it out. And the fact that InfoWars, or rather the Alex Jones Network, is still standing, kicking, and throwing punches and uppercuts and knocking out the New World Order, dude, you guys are motivating beyond what you could imagine, you know? You're like the little engine that could from a locomotive, and I'm here for it, man. Let's get on this ride and get going.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different subjects out there. And what people have to do is kind of pick their pet subject and go after it, whether that's running for office, whether that's going to city council meetings, whether that's just watching city council meetings and taking out the parts and making videos of it, or grabbing videos of this show and putting them out and spreading the word. And, you know, it's not going to turn around. You know, this is a big barge that's just barreling down the river, and you're not going to turn this thing around in a week or in a month or even in a year. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take people getting engaged. Since you mentioned election integrity, I had not seen the statistics yet on the LA mayor's race. And when you hear these numbers, I mean, the Indian lady definitely is behind some chicanery, because most of her mail-in ballots actually come from like the Skid Row area, which we saw from James O'Keefe of, you know, these groups getting paid $1 to $2 to $3 to create a voter registration, which then can create a ballot that never goes to the intended person. It just goes to somewhere. Those are collected, filled out however they want, and sent back. Or they're told how to vote, and they're paid more money on how to vote. But this is a clip. Amuse put this out. I don't think we're going to play the whole thing, but let's get through the first part of it, at least the first 2 minutes of it. But this is Bestie Friedberg spitting facts about the LA mayor's race. Here it is.
Is the election system in Los Angeles, specifically in California, corrupt? And is this election been stolen from Spencer Pratt? Or
I'm just asking
is
questions.
It just,
there is no election.
There was no election.
There is no election.
Okay. So there is no spoon.
Your rights to have an election are gone. You are a citizen of those who tell you who your overseers are. You are no longer allowed to vote.
Not allowed to vote.
For your elected representatives. They are now appointed representatives. God. So enjoy
appointed
the appointments that have been made
appointed
for you.
Who?
Appointed by those who have constructed the matrix.
Got it. Now I understand the background. There is no spoon.
Agent Smith and all the Agent Smiths are in charge. So here's some statistics for you. In-person voting the day of the election in Los Angeles County for mayor, Spencer Pratt, 35%, Karen Bass, 29%, Nithya Raman, 26%. Mail-in ballots received before election day, 38% for Bass, 28% for Pratt, 20% for Raman. And then all these ballots that arrive after election day, 37% for Raman, 35% for Bass, 19% for Pratt. So Pratt's post-election mail-in ballots declined by one-third. So statistically, the population of people that send in their ballots late reduced for Pratt by a third, increased for Nithya Raman by 80%, and Karen Bass, 10% less. If you just look at the mail-in ballots before and after election day as a comparison. I don't know if there's a socio-political way that you can assess those statistics and assume that these are individuals casting their individual vote for who they think should be mayor of LA. And Nick, if you'll just pull up the map, which I think is worth taking a look at, basically the concentration of incremental votes that Nithya Raman got came around the Skid Row area in Los Angeles. And look, I'm not an election denier. I'm not someone who's historically believed the idea that elections are fraud and people have stolen votes. But when you look at the basic statistics of what happened in person, mail-in before, mail-in after election day, it becomes a real statistical quagmire on how did this sort of a socio-political shift happen in such a way that it did. Now, there was a report published,
go.
Nick,
we'll
if
pull
you could
it down
pull this.
There. And once you see how deep the rabbit hole goes, you can't just go, you know, It was normal. That's how that. See, that's normal. See, the basic Dimtart out there will be like an 80% increase. That's normal. Oh, he lost a third of his support? That's normal. See, they want you to just say that's normal, and they'll gaslight you saying, well, there's no, what evidence do you have, Sean? What evidence, Sean? What evidence do we have that California elections are corrupt? Go ahead.
You know, Rob, here's the thing. Sheriff Bianco out here in Riverside County made quite a good grassroots contest, and he, of course, went against that globalist Hilton, who also seems to magically have gotten all these bots and all these numbers inflating things. Well, your sheriff, at the recommendation of an assembled grand jury, could seize those machines, just like in the Battle of Athens, where an evil sheriff, you know, seized the votes. You could seize the material and order a forensic audit. But will the sheriffs, you know, have the you know, balls to do what their people tell them to do? That's where you know if they're good or bad, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just the grassroots on the floor, you know, level. Governors, if so entreated, could actually have state troopers do things for them. We all know Clinton used the state troopers of Arkansas as his own posse to cause people trouble. Well, that goes for every state. But the thing is, the people have to lawfully assemble and light a fire under their proverbial, pardon the French, ass to, you know, get them to do this. And that's the process. You don't just yell at them outside their gilded castles. You actually serve them notice and make sure, hey, this is what we expect of you while you're in office. If you don't comply with this, I don't want to get people on wild goose chases and get them in trouble like some people from other organizations have done. But there are levers. Again, there are different government bodies that can do things. I wish Tulsi Gabbard didn't have to resign. But some of the stuff she and RFK Jr. have already exposed, those folks at Pfizer and everyone with the COVID vaccines, they're very lucky the American people aren't like our founders. There's a lot of folks right now, you know, the phrase stacking them like cordwood.
Yeah.
You know. Let's put it this way. If you remember Shay's Whiskey Rebellion, a lot of those rebels, actually, grand juries got them off the charges because the people were upset that Washington and everyone was taxing them over whiskey. And so early on, some of these founders decided they didn't like the grand juries so much after all. But back then, the grand juries were a mighty, mighty tool, and they can still be if the people put the weight behind it. So I don't know if you want to have David Knight come on to talk about that or if we want to do an extended segment later, but I know you got other callers, and I want folks to understand if you try that methylene blue, you'll be like I am, where you can work through a long, hot weekend in California, and it's like just another day. You ain't going to be lagging at the end of it. Rob, thank you for the time, and God bless you guys.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Sean. Appreciate everything you do. He actually sent me a text the other night. He does these calls where they – people just get around and talk about how to take back their government. Yeah, in fact, Sean, give out your website again so people can join that if they want to.
Sure thing. You can go to restore-america.org. That will get you funneled into each state. We have a person who monitors that and forges your email to the people we have in different states. Or you can go to national-assembly.net and just soak in the information. It's over a decade of information. That's why we have so many oppositions and spinoffs. People will take the info and try to go profit for themselves. And they want to patent it and get us into court battles. We're like, look, we're not going to fight you in the courts. We're just going to do what's right. We're going to get the people back to their rights. Because the founders, they didn't charge you to go and be in the revolution. They didn't charge you to be going and yelling the British are coming. No, you went and did it because it was the right thing. So we don't charge for our knowledge. We give it out. And if you want to abuse the knowledge, that's on you and God, you know. So
right.
I hope I made it clear. And Rob, again, thanks for the time, and I'll check in with you guys later because I do have other things in the work a little bit more substantial. I just can't blab them out right now. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you. I just drew kind of a visual representation line graph of how this voting where here's the in person where actually Pratt was in the lead, but I have him here. But you could see, you know, they're all about here, and then his goes kind of down with the original mail-in and then way down with the mail-ins received after. And I think we're finding a bunch of, hey, we didn't count your ballot. Your signature didn't match, even though they have a law where they can't even match the signatures anymore. That's how corrupt California is. But see, they only look at the signatures if you're voting for a Republican. And he's not even a Republican. He's just not an insane Dimtard. I don't know what party that would be called. Here's the Indian Ramen. She was down. Oh, and then jumps 80%. She goes from 26% to 20% of mail-in votes, then all of a sudden 37%. And then you got Bass. It was at 29, And then 38, she went up a little bit with the mail-in and then dropped a little bit for the after mail-in. But this is the idea, was to get these two in the runoff, because when you have a debate, you have a debate of no substance, of zero substance. Because all you're going to get is, oh, I can spend more money better than you can. I can create programs that don't work better than you can. I can burn down parts of the city better than you can. That's what the contest becomes. That's all. So that's what you get, LA. That's what you get. And, you know, you're going to get your globalist governor. It's probably not going to be Steve Hilton. It's going to be somebody even worse than Gavin Newsom. Get ready. It's coming. All right. I got 2 minutes left. Let's see. Let's play this clip. This is from my fraud section. The right to repair. GM and Ford are basically trying to get President Trump to create a law saying you're not allowed to repair your vehicle anymore. I'm sick of these new vehicles. They don't work. The sensors break. Don't get me started. Let's go to it right now. Here it is.
So now Ford and GM are saying they don't want us to work on their vehicles? Good. We don't want to work on their junk anyway. So if you haven't heard yet, the suits from GM and Ford went and met with President Trump last week, and they tried to get him to introduce a bill that prevents guys like me and you from working on their cars. Basically, they're wanting to restrict the Right to Repair Act because the software they're putting in their new cars is dangerous when it's in the hands of the public. But let me tell you what's really going on. You see, when Ford builds and sells a truck like this, they don't make very much off the sale of the truck. I mean, the dealership gets a piece of it. The salesmen, a whole lot of people get a piece of the action, so Ford doesn't have much meat left on the bone. So what do? Well, they try to make it up with repairs in the dealership and by selling parts for their crappy car. And nobody likes going to the dealership to get their cars repaired anymore because they overcharge, they don't tell you the truth, and they upsell everything. But this way, they could force you to go to the dealership so they could get the money for the repair. You see, it's no secret that vehicles Ford and GM have been making aren't as good as the ones that they used to make. And is this on purpose? I think so. I mean, what other reason would Ford have to put a plastic transmission pan on a nicely designed 10-speed transmission? The answer's simple. They're under-designing them in the factory and then making you pay for the repairs later on so they can make more money. And now what they're trying to do is restrict the information so you and me can't repair it, and you gotta take it to the dealership to get it fixed. And Ford's not alone in this either. GM is making crap too. I mean, their 8-speed transmissions paired up to the 6.2-liter, practically the worst powertrain you can buy right now. And even if you do take it to the dealership, they probably won't even have the parts to repair it right on site. You'll have to wait a few weeks, maybe even months. I've been trying to tell y'all these companies are doing this stuff, and now they're just being completely open about it. It's like they don't even care anymore. They're burning junkyards, building junk, and forcing you to go to them just so you could fix it. It's crazy. 20 years ago, we thought the future with vehicles was so bright and so cool, but now it's just depressing. And the only thing I know to do is just keep working and building these old vehicles, which I truly love to do. And that is what I'm going to concentrate on now. Like this dune buggy. I'm going to put a 200 horsepower Honda engine in it and make it the most baddest thing on the internet. Stay dirty and subscribe to see.
There you go. That's what's going on. They don't want you to have any autonomy over yourself. They want you to have to go to the man to get help. We'll be right back.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its business?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there in the way of it. If you look at the number of countries that have had runaway inflation since World War II, you know, in my lifetime, it's very large. Once you create that, it becomes a different world. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, it's just amazing what people do. Not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything.
A dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed. So here's Prince Charles, the king, announcing the digital chains, the mark of the beast system, And it dovetailed with Tony Blair, who's globally, through the UN and Bill Gates, standardized the world ID that the UK, under orders of the king, I thought he's just ceremonial, no, he could dissolve Parliament anytime he wants, is now going into place. This all ties into everything. We'll talk to the top economist, who's a great patriot, Peter Kirkley, in a moment about it, but here's the clips.
My ministers will also proceed with the introduction of digital ID that will modernize how citizens interact with public services.
Tell us a bit about what it means for what government should do in terms of its digital infrastructure, digital ID, data centers, and so on.
The first thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model. You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your electronic health records, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
What they do is Oracle make big donations to Tony Blair's Institute, and Tony Blair's Institute advocates for further advantages for Oracle and Oracle-affiliated entities. Listen, the centralization of data and the centralization of power is part of a dark and nefarious agenda.
People are really crazy if they don't call you. You're on record the biggest company because you have the best ratings, the best gold and silver prices. It is the smart move. Get a free consultation. They can roll over financial instruments.
This should be a happy time, right? So don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. There is a path to safety here financially, and that's what tangible assets do. This is what
God
the numbers
always
are
gives
telling
his people a way out, but the people perish always for lack of knowledge.
Always. He always does. He's never going to say something, even if it's the mark of the beast. When he talks about it in Revelation, he's not going to say something unless we have a choice to either accept or reject, because he didn't create robots.
KEPM.com/gold. Sign up for the email there to get a free consultation. We'll call you right back. Or you can call the number 720-605-3000. The smartest investment you could have made in the last 3 years. I'm telling you right now, this is the place to go. 720-605-3000.
Weeks and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, final segment of the War Room as we go through the wormhole. We got a few callers on the line. If you did get dropped, we were watching. Oh, there I am with my Hidden Valley Ranch. If we got any callers that just got dropped, call right back. For some reason, our system's acting a little funny. We're working out the kinks in this one. It's a little different than the last system, which could have like 20 callers. This one, you get like six at a time. But let's go to Leslie right now. Leslie in Nevada wants to talk about the elections in Nevada and the crazy corruption. I have not been privy to this corruption in Nevada. I'm surprised. I'm shocked the state that Harry Reid comes from would have any corruption. Go ahead, Leslie.
Hi, Rob. So good to talk to you again.
Mm-hmm.
So I never told you this before when we were talking about my peacock, but I have a radio show in Nye County called Astral Underground. And every year during elections, my producer and I free up all the space from my show specifically for candidate interviews. Now, they know they're going to get an unusual interview because I make it wildly known that I am a witch. And so they know they're going to be sitting in the hot seat with me. But the most interesting thing is that when Roger Stone came to Nye County in 2020 to help us pick our community, our county commissioners, he talked about Michelle Fiore and what a good decision she would be for Nye County. Well, I had the opportunity to interview her because she was running for Justice of the Peace. And I also had the opportunity to pull her astrological chart before I had the interview. I ran it by whom I thought was her best friend. to make sure that the questions were likable and appropriate. And I got the okay from her friend.
Wait, so you were doing pre-interviews? Is that what you're saying?
No. I was doing interviews with the candidate.
Okay.
But I wasn't sure about Michelle and her position on witchcraft and astrology. So I ran it by her best friend first to make sure I wasn't going to step on any toes, right?
All right.
Well, her best friend says, wow, no, she really wants to know this information. So she comes in the chair. We start talking. She gets really mad when I ask her about the conviction, because she was convicted of $30,000 worth of election fraud. She used the money to pay for her daughter's wedding. Well, she put the money back, but did she? That's one of the big questions. Donald Trump personally pardoned Michelle Fiore. So I am a friendly interview. I am looking forward to meeting her. I have been thinking about her since Roger Stone mentioned her personally to me in 2020. Well, first she got very upset about that. I was pardoned, and I was curious. Pardoned? Well, don't you have to be convicted in order to be pardoned? Well, she wasn't very happy with me. So I tried to continue with the interview, and I thought I would be uplifting. And I said, well, you know, Leos are so energetic and outgoing and really flashy. Do you think the Valley is ready for a Leo judge? And she turned and she looked at me and with all spit and venom said, what did you just say to me? And I leaned back. I'm a little aghast. And I said, do you think the Valley is ready for a Leo judge? And she said, that's it. This interview is over. And she slammed down the microphone. She stood up and then she turned and she said, and keep your witchy to yourself. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I mean, astrology and witchcraft are not really the same thing, are they? I mean, I guess there's some overlap.
No, they're not.
And so you just made a comment about her being a Leo and she got all.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Walked out of the interview, called me an effing witch, like that was an insult, and then told me to keep my witchy crap to myself.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was really shocking. You know what? I also had the opportunity to interview Cody Whipple for Congressional District Number 4. He was a gem. He told me what his sign was. We chatted about it. We talked about him playing football and all kinds of good things. And everyone else I interviewed thought that the interviews were amazing. She was the only one that flipped out. It was really disappointing. Oh.
Did she end up winning?
Oh, no, she didn't. She lost.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess don't piss off the witch. But she didn't really piss me off. She just, it was just alarming. And I thought you would want to know because Roger Stone is a friend of the InfoWars. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize how important Nye County is in national politics. We are right beside Las Vegas. And all the people who were shot and killed in Las Vegas are buried in Pahrump. That's one of the reasons why Art Bell had such an interesting show. The Valley is loaded with ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Art Bell definitely was. He was kind of the king of the late, late, late night radio. We started coast to coast, and now it's. Well, John B. Wells did it for a while, and who runs it now? Who runs Coast to Coast now? I forget the name. George Norrie, yeah, George Norrie does it. Yeah, very very interesting. Somebody just put all of Art Bell's stuff back on online too. You could check that out. Yeah, I mean, as if there's enough time to listen to 3 to 4 hours a night of Art Bell with all that's going on. Pretty crazy, but. You know, all this stuff can be made searchable now, which is pretty neat. You can find clips and clip them out, just like you could do this to the Alex Jones Show. Guys, let's pull up our Rumble channel to show people where they can go. Because you can find stuff on X, but X is just kind of a pit where you just keep throwing stuff into it. Thanks for the call, Leslie. Appreciate it. And, But like our Rumble channel is where you could literally go. It's rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And that's where you're going to find everything from The Alex Jones Show. Well, that's the War Room Live, but show them The Alex Jones Show Live. That's the other channel where you could go. We've got the the little, it's weird watching me flail my arms around. That happened like 3 minutes ago or whatever from the chat. But there's a live chat you can participate in. So we got the War Room live, also the Alex Jones Show live. Both of those you could get on, watch the shows, also catch past episodes, and then search for things. We have the clips on there as well. Let's go to Michael in Ohio, right at the top of the list. Michael wants to go talk about the Iran peace deal. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm going to make a comment, too, on the peace through meat thing. You should call it piece of meat.
Piece of meat. All right. Yep. Piece of meat deal.
Like P-E-A-C-E.
Yeah. P-E-A-C-E. I got it. That's how I wrote it. I wrote piece of meat. Yeah.
I tagged John X in it, and I was like, man, maybe he'll say it, but I was like, I made it in on Colin. But
there you go.
Real quick, too, you know, what I seen with the whole White House thing, I mean, it's great. I love America First and all that, and we do need something to lift our spirits, but I'm like, could it have just been somewhere else other than the White House? All I could think the whole time was Idiocracy, dude. I was waiting for President Camacho to bust through the door with an M60 and just be like, woo! You know, so
I mean, Trump is kind of President Camacho. You know,
close. I think Terry Crews would be much cooler. It'd be so much more entertaining. But we get Trump. Yeah, I voted for him. So what can I say? But anyways, I think the Iran peace deal is a fluke. I mean, not only because Israel's already came out once again and been like, "Nah, heck no, we ain't doing none of that." But to the fact that, I mean, if you see who signed it on the Iran side, it's the Speaker of their Parliament. Like, it's not even one of their leaders.
It's their Mike Johnson.
Yeah. It'd be like our Mike Johnson signed it, and they'd be like, oh, Mikey signed it. That's real nice, you know? So it's just, and the stock market went way up. So, you know, it's more pump and dumps by Trump, and it's, I don't know. I'm kind of fed up with it. I've really removed myself from a lot of it other than just kind of catching brief tidbits, but it's, like Alex said, you know, is this in the 40s now worth of times that he's been like, oh, peace deal reached? And
yeah, so. And, you know, maybe at some point, maybe when it hits like 55, he'll go, you know, we just can't make a peace deal because Iran's going to keep mucking it up. And he's going to have to put some screws to Iran to get this to happen. Look, we got some actual, this is some pre-show from the UFC fight right here, I believe. We got it on stage right now. There's a, oh, no, wait, that's Idiocracy. We got this guy, not sure. He's going to fix all our problems. I know it's bad right now. Yeah, great great movie. And, you know, now it's become a documentary. You know, they had the Nitro Circus guys doing flips and stuff in front of the White House. Yeah, you know, I'd rather see our money spent on that. At least people are having a good time and it's promoting the country rather than, you know, bombing people on behalf of the Israeli government, which is what we're doing now. So, you know, that's where we're at. Anything else, Michael?
No, sir, man. Thank you for taking my call, Rob. Great show as always.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Take care, buddy.
I love taking your calls. We got a few more on. I want to go to, we were talking about fraud last segment. I'll keep the fraud going this segment. This is, I remember this in college, and it wasn't fraud necessarily, but it would be, you know, you'd get your loans from the government or your federal grants, and you'd enroll in classes, and then there would be people who would do this, and then they would just drop out and get the money. They would get that money back. And so they did this in order to keep living their college lifestyle, you know, not thinking about the future going, oh, you're going to have to pay this back at some point. I paid back all my college loans, but there was, when I got out of college, it was, I think I owed like $15,000. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to put it in forbearance for 6 months. Well, after 6 months, it jumped to like $22,000. And then as I was paying the minimum for a while and it kept going up and I'm like, man, I got to get a handle on this. So I just started paying it off and eventually it went away. But man, they really stick it. I had a one of the government loans. So it was only like at 4.5% or something, but I knew people who had 18% interest on their loans, which I think is criminal. to pay that much in interest on a loan. But here is Minnesota flagged more than 7,700 ghost students in its state college system. So they'd enroll under fake identities. Oh, I wonder who gave them that idea. Apply for financial aid, pretend to participate long enough to trigger the payments, then disappear. So it's costing taxpayers $12.5 million. And that's just one state in Minnesota. So online classes filled up 50 seats in 2 minutes, but only two students were real. So then you also have these schools going, oh, we have all these people. We have to hire more teachers and increase the cost of the schools. And then, oh, there's only two students. So then you've wasted all this money. But, you know, the university's like, well, we're not going to fire these teachers. We're just going to charge students more and they will get more in loans. So the process continues. But here's a news report on it.
Five federal lawmakers are moving forward with a bill to combat so-called ghost students. It's a nationwide problem, and it's happening here in Minnesota as well. It involves scammers enrolling in colleges, applying for financial aid, then pocketing the cash without ever stepping foot in a classroom. Fox 9's Mike Manzoni joins us now to explain. And Mike, state colleges just got some extra money to actually crack down on this problem.
Yeah, Karen, this problem mostly impacts community colleges. The Minnesota state system says it flagged more than 7,700 ghost students in the 2024 to 2025 school year. The system says it received $3 million to help verify students' identities and prevent this fraud. A fraud expert walked us through how ghost students get away with it.
They enroll in college under a fake identity. Sometimes they might even show up online and pretend to engage for a period of time. They do whatever it needs to be done to trigger the disbursement of financial aid, and then they disappear.
Give me my money.
So the student never existed, but the money is real.
And the Education Department claims that the Minnesota State ghost students cost taxpayers $12.5 million. But the system disputes that, saying it never sent any money to the bogus students and, in fact, took them off its rolls. And that's another problem here. Ghost students take seats away from real students.
In one online class that had 50 spots, as soon as it opened up, within 2 minutes, all of the spots were taken, right? So this professor thought he had like this really hot class that he was going to be offering. And it turns out only two of the students enrolled in the class were real. The rest were all fake.
And the bill at the federal level would flag colleges that enroll ghost students and allow for audits and other oversight measures. It still, though, needs to pass the Senate before heading to the president's desk, Karen.
Wow, interesting. All right, thank you, Mike. And financial aid money typically goes directly to colleges. So how do ghost students actually get their hands on some of this money?
Experts say the money first goes to the schools, which then take their cut for tuition. Then they send over anything that's left to those ghost students who then pocket the money.
Oh, so I guess that's probably like room and board and meals and things right. Like that. That's usually included in the aid. All right. You mentioned that ghost students mostly go after community colleges. What makes those schools so attractive to fraudsters?
Well, there are a couple things here. One, they're typically open enrollment. That means really anyone can sign up for the classes. So it's one less step for them to go through. They're also usually smaller and sometimes have fewer safeguards because they're designed to be accessible. Though the Minnesota state system says it's implemented various protections now since uncovering those ghost students, Karen.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Great report.
And back when I was in college, they also had a system where if you left after a couple weeks, you get all your money. And then if you left after a few more, you get 80% of your money and then 60% and then 20%. So you could get your money back. And the school tried to keep you in there, of course. But if you withdrew, you got money. I saw friends of mine do it all the time. And then they would live like kings for a while. They were the ones buying all the beer. And, you know, who knows what happened to them. But that's kind of how it goes with when you give people unlimited money for school, the school just raises its prices. And like that, you saw 48 of the 50 students were fake. So they're like, oh, we got a hot class. We should make more of these classes. And then those get filled up. And it just, the cycle continues. All right, let's go to Sean in Alaska. Wants to talk about oil prices, and he's an oil field worker. Go ahead, Sean. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Rob. Thanks for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
I work in the Valdez oil terminal here, and we put crude oil on the tankers, and it gets shipped out to Seattle and Los Angeles. And I just want to talk about how this oil crisis, I think, is manufactured because we could be filling a tanker every 12 hours off these two berths. And in May, we shut one of them down for maintenance, and they could easily defer that maintenance. And we might only get three takers a week, which is pretty slow, and they could increase the capacity if they wanted to.
Hey, let me ask you real quick. Do you guys get tankers from other countries, or is it just mainly domestic?
So that's the other thing we've been talking about is Trump said that we've increased our capacity and we're now the largest exporter of oil, which can't be true because I think we've only had one flag tanker from overseas since this oil crisis started. It's just our normal tankers that the polar tankers and that deliver down to Long Beach and Seattle. And I think it's all manufactured. And I have a buddy that works in North Dakota in the oil field, and he said it's super slow there. So,
and this is before it gets refined, right? So you are sending stuff that needs to be refined?
Correct. It's crude oil.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and the, you know, with the price dropping, that's going to be even less incentive. What's the price point where it hits, where then it doesn't become advantageous to even pull the oil out of the ground?
I don't know. They say here in Alaska that it's got to be at least $45, $50 a barrel for them to profit.
Okay.
But, I mean, we've cranked out takers before way more than this capacity-wise, and it's been super slow. And for us to be in an oil crisis, everyone's wondering, like, what's going on? It seems like it's almost manufactured and intentional.
Well, we're not importing oil at all anymore, according to Trump, although we may be getting some from Canada, but... I mean, our gas prices shouldn't be affected by the price of oil, essentially, because, you know, we're not having those supply problems. We have plenty of supply, and we're bringing it in from Venezuela as well. So it makes you wonder, you know, what these markets are. Is anything real anymore, you know? Stock market, is that real? Elon SpaceX, stock options, you know, stock drop. You know, is that even real? Is anything real anymore? You know, because it's like you said, we got people on the ground say we don't have that much. We're not busy. We're not at capacity. So you guys could do double what you're doing now and still be, you know, not working at your, not redlining it and nothing's going on.
Fill one every 12 hours if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Two berths.
And you're doing several, just a few a week.
That could be four tankers a day, and that's a million gallons or a million barrels on each tanker.
Yeah,
which they could, and I mean it's super slow. Yeah, like I said, we might get three, four a week.
Are you guys able to track the Strait of Hormuz to see if ships are actually going through it? Because Trump said, you know, we're pulling ships through it at night and stuff like that. Do you think that was real?
I don't know about that. That's on the other side of the world, and I don't. Like I said, we just deal with our domestic tankers here. They're pretty strict as far as they have to be double hauled. And made in America, and since the oil spill. But anyway, I'm just saying that, you know, we've done it in the past. We've had foreign flag tankers come in here, and it was about I think during COVID they were doing it. But yeah, we were exporting to China and South Korea and some other places. But yeah, we could be cranking out way more, and I think it's just manufactured to create a crisis.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they need, because when you have a crisis, you have control. You can make control over things. Thanks for the call, Sean. Let's go to Anonymous, calling from we don't know where, but go ahead, Anonymous. Yeah, Anonymous, are you there? Sounds like your mom has your Hot Pockets ready. Hello? How's it going, Anonymous?
I'm looking for you.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Are you all right? We're gonna drop they're gonna drop Anonymous. Let's go to Evan in Ohio. I guess they're taking Anonymous is getting his order taken. He's either in a restaurant or his mom's got his Hot Pockets ready. That's what it sounded like. Somebody's in a kitchen. Go ahead, Evan, and from Ohio.
Hey, Long Island, not Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good, good, good.
Did you participate in any of the chicanery after the Knicks won?
No. I'm in Suffolk. I'm like a rural Long Island.
Okay.
Yeah, Long Island's like a metropolis island type of
right.
thing.
It's
like
yeah.
a little bit of everything. But,
go ahead.
I was calling to see if you guys could get Michael Tesarian back on the show. I haven't seen him on the show in a long time, to talk about the Israel-Middle East conflict. The other thing was, you guys have always been like the frontier for new information and speakers and discussion. There is a few topics that I've seen the mainstream really poo-poo that I don't know if it really deserves a headlight, but there's a lot within this community that that we're in, because I was a barber for a long time. I'm out on head injury recovery. But a lot of people who follow you guys also follow various other conspiracy topics. I'm sure you've heard of it. The idea about the potential society that was gone, such as like Tartaria, basically that Tartarian technology and stuff like that. There's various people online who speak about it, such as Improbable Dreamer, I forget the other guy's name. But I would like to have him come on for discussion. And then I don't buy into the flat earth type of stuff, but I do buy into the idea that I really don't know what it is that we are on. I mean, I could give, if there's information for all this stuff, I looked into this stuff a tremendous amount and I don't know where I lie with it. But just the idea, like you have, what's his name? The famous astrophysicist, DeGrasse Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
He won't even give credit. He won't even give scientific discussion to flat earth people. Like, he won't debate them. He'll just laugh at them. He'll mock them in their face. But if he's actually a scientist and actually wants to debunk the claims of the flat earthers, of people who are questioning it, like, you guys had Wistic Get Sits on there. It'd be interesting if you actually get, like, Flat Earth Dave on there.
I think we had him on before with Eddie Bravo at one point. We did have Flat Earth Dave on. I think here's the key. You got to keep an open mind. I don't think we know all of history. History has been rewritten. History is written by the victors, whoever those are. And right now, they're globalists who control everything. So with that, that's the end of our show. Thank you for calling. You can find me on X at Dews News, DewsNewz. This is The War Room. Coming back will be Alex Jones tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central. You can find everything at AlexJonesLive.com.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka. Potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow! The methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the AlexJonesStore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.